everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm honored and privileged to have with me today, and I mean that very sincerely, someone I have a great deal of respect for. His name is Sheriff, his first name. His real name is Thomas Bowler. He's been the sheriff now one full term, and he's into his second term. Second term, right?
Third. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. I've got to be done by 1 o'clock because I go to the potholder making club at Greylock Nursing Home. I'll tell you, I forget where the car is sometimes. He's done a great job. And I will say this too, and I think he'll agree with me. He took over a jail that has been on the cutting edge since the old sheriff came in, right? Before Courtney, way back to World War II.
Yeah.
He saw that some of the people in the jail weren't criminals. They were what they called battle fatigue. And they were alcoholics, and they get drunk, and they get in a fight, or they get... And he started the first AA program in a jail in Massachusetts. Or so I've been told.
Yep.
So Sheriff Bowler keeps it up. There's an education program. There's a detoxification program. And he runs a good shop. And he's got some great people. He's got Jason Kyler with him now. And a lot of good people. He had Jack Quinn. Sorry about that. Almost slipped up, big boy. Jack Quinn, who I have the utmost respect for. So what's going on other than the jail, Sheriff?
Oh, it's a new year. We're ringing in the new year.
Yes. 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 And one of the things I would really like you to take a minute just to go over, because I think it is kind of a cutting edge for jails. You have a certified detoxification program.
Yeah, well, we have a MATS program, a medications assistant treatment program.
Yes. Yeah. And I've had this discussion with people. I had it with Mr. Shagrew, DA Shagrew's predecessor, who agreed to disagree. I will say this: if you're out there and you need help, or you know somebody, now's the time. This is the month to give it up. So,
yeah,
but detoxification is the first step in being free of addiction. And if you're, that's why I think what they do at the jail is amazing. And I know some of you will go crazy. You went crazy before when I said it. Going to jail may not be the worst thing for an addict.
No.
In fact, you may be saving the addict's life.
Correct. We have, we have a kind of a platform that we sit on, is that, we don't feel as though this is the place for drug addicts.
Right.
Unless there is criminal behavior attached to that.
Exactly.
So it gives us an opportunity to hold the person accountable with the court's help in the DA's office. In other social services, it allows us to hold people accountable for their actions, but at the same time, treat their illness. And obviously, along with the opioid crisis that we've been going through, the substance use disorders, to include alcohol, mental health, all that's intertwined. There's more chronic illness. We're seeing more and more of it with these individuals coming in. I mean, over 80%, a good 88% to 90% of our individuals here have some type of substance use disorder.
Yeah.
Almost 80, if not over 80%, also have mental health problems or issues and challenges as well. So it's all intertwined. And the unfortunate thing for us is, or for these individuals, is yes, we are saving lives. We'd like to see people stay a little bit longer, You know, if you have an addiction to opiates, this is not a short-term fix. It's a
No.
long-term fix, and it involves a lot. We are licensed to dispense methadone. We do methadone, Suboxone. We do Vivitrol, even to those who choose to take it when they leave, which is a blocker.
Yeah.
And there's a huge education component that goes along with it. And that's the benefit I think a lot of these individuals get from this is while they're here, they're not only just getting the treatment, but they're being educated on it as well.
Exactly.
Where a lot of times you don't see that out with the local clinic, so to speak. There's supposed to be some education that goes along with it. But a lot of people just go receive their treatment and then leave. You know, there's some drawbacks to that. So yeah, it's quite involved. It's quite intense. Obviously, we have a full medical staff here. We have a doctor, we have a physician assistant, we have a nursing director, we have a medical health authority. Who is very, very well versed on compliance with all the protocols and standards we have to maintain with the National Commission of Correctional Healthcare. She's actually an auditor, and she goes to other facilities across the country and audits other facilities. You know, we're very fortunate based on the talent that we have here and the people that are working here.
And let me just dovetail on a little bit on that too. You have some tremendous employees at the jails. Really, some have been there forever, you know, and with that, in today's day and age, as you, I don't know if you're experiencing it or not, but I hear from all over the country, they're running mandatory overtime. They're running short. It's a tough career field. It's rewarding as all get out, but it's not for the faint of heart.
Correct. It is, and we're under those same challenges as well. I mean, we have positions that we haven't been able to fill. As you know, before the holidays, we lost our assistant deputy superintendent that was ran our mental health
Yeah.
program, Mark Massaro.
Yeah.
He
How's
Mark
that?
passed away, and you know, with him went over 30 plus years of experience.
Yeah.
And you know, we haven't been able to fill that job. We have some other people who are coming up on retirement, some key positions, and you know, we need to fill those. So the challenges are every day. Every day we have challenges.
And you just so for people who don't know, we get a lot of new people have moved into the area. And Sheriff Bowler before that was a detective in the Pittsfield Police Department. So I mean, he this isn't the jail isn't his first rodeo. But what do you see the difference from when like you and I were cops to now? You kind of nailed a little bit of it. I think it was there, but I don't think we were aware to the prevalence of it, and that was mental health issues.
Yes. I mean, obviously, so I've been in this business, I think I'm coming on my 40th year.
We got
So,
gray hair.
30, yeah. At least I got
This is 50 plus years what you're looking at here.
it. All right.
So get
So
out while you still got it.
that's what I got to look forward to, right?
Yeah. Old fat ball guy and the pot holders club at 1 o'clock. Pot. Yep.
But yeah, so you know, when I started this business in 85, you know, I was patrolman right up until the latter part of 88 into 89. Then I got up into the drug unit and detective bureau, and you know, we've been fighting a war on drugs ever since.
Ever since.
And you know, with those drugs at that particular time, a lot of it during the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s was cocaine, and then crack cocaine was developed, and then we started hitting the opiates. We've always had the pills around, and we've had a lot of individuals who have been have succumbed to the disease through medications and based on injuries that they've sustained. We see it all the time with some athletes and kids who are hurt in high school, and doctors put them on these painkillers, and next thing you know, they're full-blown with substance use disorders. And it's been challenging all the way through. And then, of course, along with that came the mental health intertwined with it. And those are the most challenging, and it's difficult and it's hard. And like I said, we only have a short window. The average stay of somebody that's sentenced here, is 5 to 8 months, and it's getting less than that.
Wow.
So, it's when you have somebody who is really addicted to opiates. I mean, and when they come through the door here, it takes a good 50 days just to clear their head.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, I mean, 2 months are already gone by. And then we go through the programs, and we try to build these people's with their self-esteem and their confidence, and educate them on the do's and don'ts. And it's just not enough time.
No.
So that's what's challenging. And with parole, we find it even more challenging because, here in the state of Massachusetts, and we're a blue state, and it's unfortunate that politics gets involved in all this stuff, but it does. And there's a sense, a liberal sense out there that people shouldn't be in jails.
Yeah.
And so we're fighting that battle and that challenge all the time. So it's the challenges keep coming every single day, and we keep fighting the battles.
Well, I mean this, I'm sincere about this. You're doing a great job. And I just want to rewind a little bit. You're exactly right. The people, and what drives me a little crazier than I normally am, these people who have never been in a jail, don't know that they're judging it from TV or something, or movies. There's a lot more rehabilitation going on in jails than the general public knows about. The sheriff
Right.
just made an excellent point. I'm not, don't have some of these programs start sending me hate mail. I get enough. But here's my belief. And let me just say this first before the sheriff gets us in trouble. The views and opinions on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, Pittsfield School Committee, Mayor Marchetti, and the mayor's office, Peter White, and the city council, and or the guy parking his truck on the ice. Oh, forgot about that. Anyhow, here's the thing. If someone is addicted and they commit a crime, and they sometimes they'll get bail or whatever, I don't really think you're doing them a favor at that point.
No.
If you got them to the sheriff's jail and they start the detox process, because when you're thinking about the only thing going on up here is your next fix, then you can swear. I can't tell you the number of people that I addicted alcohol, drugs. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up. And they do for a day, a half a day. If you can get them into a program, but the sheriff just made an excellent point. Sometimes it takes 30, 45 days to flush all that crap out of their organs.
Yeah, it's a long process, and we just don't do it alone. That's why we've forged
Yeah.
partnerships and relationships with other social service agencies and mental health agencies and medical professionals throughout the county. Because once they leave us,
Yeah.
that's why we have Second Street. and second chance. There has to be a continuation of those programs once they leave us, so that they're out in the community, and they can still deal with the issue or the illness that's at hand, but at the same time, building the self-esteem and the confidence to keep moving every single day in a positive direction. And yes, they have their drawbacks, and they have to rebound, but we expect that, and we anticipate that. And but that's why we have so-called navigators to help these individuals navigate through all these challenges, and hopefully bring them to, you know, on a path or a road to success. But I've watched it. I've seen it. I've seen people last 9 minutes, 9 days, 9 months, 9 years.
Yeah.
And go back and relapse.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you're at that stage, you are committed to the rest of your life to maintaining sobriety and a clean living. It's not just it comes and goes. It is every single day that you are fighting those demons or that challenge.
And if you talk to the AA people or NA or any of them, they will tell you, they will use this term, I am a recovering alcoholic. They're never recovered, because they know, what's the old song? One's too many, a thousand's not enough. Through the years, we've seen it.
And sometimes all it takes is just a simple meeting to give these individuals a you know, the confidence or the self-esteem to keep moving forward until the next day. We had, I'll give you a quick incident. When Chandler, Harry Chandler, had escaped from us few years back, and we basically took over, obviously, the Second Street as our command center at the time. And they were holding AA meetings. And we had to cancel the AA meeting that one night, this one particular night, and a guy showed up, and he just needed somebody to talk to. And so while we're still out searching and running our command center in the Second Street Jail, I sat out on where the sign is. It's a little raised flower bed in their little circle there, and I sat with that kid for an hour. And just to talk, just to get him through the day, and so that he could continue on to the next day. That's all he needed to keep going until the next day. And, you know, so it's important. And we can't provide every service that somebody needs. That's why we forge partnerships and relationships with other agencies. And, and it's so important to have the navigators. Our navigators are the ones who try to keep these people in tabs and guiding them through this obstacle course that these people are going through every single day. And you got to remember, a lot of these individuals prior to having the substance use disorder challenge had no guidance or direction anyways. You know, broken homes, whatever the case may be. Hard economic times. So that's what the navigators are there for. And I hate using this term, but it's holding their hand and guiding them through this obstacle course it takes one small little negative influence to send them right back to where they started. And that's what we try to avoid.
And for those tuning in that don't recognize this guy, he is Sheriff Thomas Bowler. He is the sheriff of Berkshire County. He's very active in the community. He had many years starting as we all did on midnight shift. Now they go back to midnight.
I got lucky though. I only spent I spent a year and a half on midnights when I first came out, and a year and a half on second shift. And then when I got upstairs to the detective bureau, I spent the remainder of my career at the PD on second shift.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Now, well, that second, it's tough on the families, but
Yes.
it's where the action. But now the action is all night. I mean,
No. But there were
it's.
nights on second shift that I never went home till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah,
So.
but then another piece, and I found this working with violent youthful offenders. And it's not to excuse their crimes or their addictions, or it's just another medical piece that we're still learning about. And that's called traumatic brain injury. And if you read the symptoms and you know some of these people, it's pretty. And when I was there, we're talking before Tom was. But seriously, we didn't understand it. But I think back on some of the behavior in locked up in the penitentiary, these violent youthful offenders, it's classic. Classic. We are learning and more learning, and I think the sheriff will agree. But in fairness to that particular sheriff's office, Berkshire County, since McIntyre was his name, Sheriff McIntyre after World War II to the current sheriff, Thomas Boler, they have been cutting edge. Education, my big bugaboo. You got them in there, do something with them other than lock them up, because if you don't, they'll be back on the installment plan, life on the installment plan. And you guys have always done that. John Courtney.
And it's just not the educational component. It's
Oh, no.
it's look at when they come in, they just don't sit around. They have an opportunity, and everybody in our facility is given the same opportunity. Doesn't matter who they are. They start out with remedial jobs inside the housing unit where they live. Then they go off and work in the kitchen area. Working in the kitchen area, earning good time and building up their self-esteem. And we have a culinary program now that started last year. So we're working on a culinary program. Then it goes to guys working on site, outside, on the grounds, or at Second Street, or then going out, moving up, and moving to the community service program. Working out in the community, supervised by our staff, but doing community jobs,
Right.
cutting, working in cemeteries, painting town halls, painting schools, working for nonprofit organizations, cutting lawns, things like this, cleaning up beaches. And then it evolves into and progresses to a work release program. And pre-COVID, we had a very, very progressive work release program. LTI
Ooh.
Smart Glass, Samco Industries, Cavalier Plastics, Dunkin' Donuts, construction companies, Unistress. We have 5 guys working at Unistress all day long, and then they come back up at night and spend the night with at us while they're still doing their time, but they're able to earn a paycheck while they're there.
And learn a trade.
And they're learning a trade. And Unistress, if they were there 3 months or 90 days, they got them into the union. All these things were beneficial. And then when COVID hit, all this took a back seat. And now we're some other things have happened with some of the companies. One company has a change of ownership, and they weren't the new owners weren't big on giving people the second chance. Like the previous owners were. So we've taken a back seat, plus parole. Parole's getting these guys out sooner. And that's not going to wind out of our work release program. The longer these guys are here and they're occupied with education, treatment programs, mental health treatment, medical treatment, jobs, building their self-esteem, working in our aquaponics program, just getting out of the day-to-day rat race that goes on in here and getting out, working in the greenhouse, actually growing and producing food for our inmate population here. It's all building their self-worth and their self-confidence, self-esteem. These are all positives. Then they go out to the Second Street program, where our navigators help them navigate through this obstacle course that the challenges they come up with every single day while living in the community, helping them with family situations, getting them reunited back into their families, job opportunities, continuing with their mental health and their medical care, even having some legal services there for them so that they can utilize those legal services, housing, all this stuff. It's a huge plus. But when they come in and they go out so fast, those deplete really, really, and really quick, and their opportunity for success diminishes. So it's difficult, but we fight the fight every single day.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, why I like doing this program with you and this particular institution is because I am familiar with it from for years. I mean, when I first came back from Vietnam, I worked part-time at the jail, the old jail. But you saw what was going on. Got Mark Matthews, Joe Fox, they would come through mass rehab, right, and teach. When you see these individuals get a GED, there you can tell that they may not be coming back to you because they've successfully completed something that they thought was beyond their grip.
Exactly. And we have a lot of success
Oh,
stories.
I
We
know.
also we have just as many people that succeed. We have our failures.
Yeah.
The
Oh,
good thing
yeah.
is we anticipate that. We know that's going to happen.
We're human. We're human. We're human. Nobody's
Absolutely.
flawless. My wife points that out to me every day.
I know. Speaking of, Joe Fox was my vice principal at Crosby Junior High School when I was there with Paul Govrow as the principal.
Yeah.
Mark Matthews was my principal up at Taconic when I was at Taconic. And Joe Fox there as well. So, guys like Dr. Coakley,
Yeah.
Bob Coakley. And
Yeah.
it was just, it's all these, look at my football coaches, Dave Lucarone, Dick Bard, Jay Brock, all these guys had a huge influence on me growing
Yeah.
up. And so with our education and, a lot of these people are starting later in life, but we can provide them the same services that we had when we were younger as well.
And if you're listening, audience, if you're listening or viewing this, listen to what's being said. You know that there's that song, you can listen as well as you hear, or you can hear as listen as, but there's, I know when I worked at Beloit years ago, we had guys coming over from the jail and like in a semi, a semi apprentice program in welding and machine shop and all. And that was going really, really well. And then Beloit ended up closing and moving. So, but if you're a manufacturer out there, or you're a business out there, I heard Dunkin' Donuts, at least think about this. They do all the screening. They, if there's an issue, they're there. They being the sheriff's office. But if somebody doesn't believe they can do it, I had so many youthful offenders that didn't believe they could ever grad. They had, did they have learning disabilities? Yes. Were they always addressed? No. Was it sometimes their fault? Yes. They copped an attitude. And when you cop an attitude, nobody wants to be around you. I know I'm promoting the jail and the sheriff and all his staff, but I mean it from my heart because we have mental health issues, we have addiction issues, we have homeless issues. I said this one day about 6, 7 months ago, Sheriff, and somebody said, "Oh, that dog doesn't hunt." We have poverty issues. And fortunately, the schools now, with the meals and all that, thank God for the legislature that did that.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the North End, and I know kids, when the gardens went out of season, their meals went way down.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. The sheriff will be back. And I do want to also, I got to make this little statement before we go, Sheriff. I ended up in Berkshire Medical Center's urgent care yesterday. And, you know, we're always quick to criticize about stuff. Well, let me just say this. The quality of the care that I got was magnificent is the word. And that's the urgent care. They were terrific. And I want to thank them, and I wanted to make it public. Dr. Chin was the doctor. Carrie was the nurse, and Kate was the X-ray technician. Thank you for being there. And the receptionist made it no grief, smooth as glass. This is WTBR, 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. And by the way, we'll be giving you more information about how our station is expanding in the very near future. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, play WTBRFM," and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am here, and I'm proud to be here with Sheriff Thomas Bowler. He is the sheriff of Berkshire County. And I will tell you, this Berkshire County, and this is a term I want to really drive home to. It's the Berkshire County House of Corrections and Jail.
Yep.
And I think, Sheriff, going back to Sheriff McIntyre, World War II guy, who really took the House of Correction piece and built programs into it. One of the first jails, I understand it, or the first jail in the Commonwealth, was the Berkshire County, to have AA come in, Alcoholics Anonymous. Because most of them back then, and Sheriff will tell you, he's been on the police department, most of our, a couple have come to mind, and I'm not going to mention their names, but they would literally show up at the station saying, it's cold out here.
Yep.
And then it caused some minor disturbance, and the old judge at the time, a lot of people didn't like him, but he understood this community. And I remember him saying to one, I'll tell you off air. He said, so what kind of a sentence you want? He said, well, I'm looking. It's end of November now. I'm looking towards the end of March.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we kept the old jail running for all those years.
Just to get the three meals and stay warm.
Yeah. And most of them had a trade. There were plumbers, there were painters, a lot of painters. carpenters, that's really and truly, I attribute to the old jail still being used to those old guys that came in and worked, and they worked their butts off all day.
They did. They had the vocational programs at Second Street for years, the wood shop.
Yeah.
The auto fab, the body shop.
Yeah, fabrication. Yeah.
Because, we've always pretty much taken care of our own fleet.
Right.
And we've had our own mechanics and body guys. Only the big stuff was farmed out to other agencies or other body shops or mechanics to fix that. Obviously, when some of our newer vehicles, when they get a recall, we bring them back to the dealership or whatever the case may be. But for many years, they had the woodworking vocational. They had a huge garden at Second Street.
Unbelievably.
That produced
and
all
they
the food.
Turned 8, 10, 12, 14 inmates out every day to work in the garden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, some of the old traditions should still stick around. We don't really have a this facility. We thought this facility was going to be set up for a woodworking shop. But it wasn't.
Oh.
That went by the wayside. But we still occasionally we will have inmates go down to the Second Street and help out the guys down there at Second Street. They help with the grounds, or they'll help work on the fleet or things like that. And then we have the aquaponics program, obviously.
Yeah, I want you to get into that.
You have two or three guys up there on any given day, inmates up there working and learning how to be self-sustainable when it comes to growing food and building their self-esteem and working at, growing food for the jail and the food vulnerability out in the community, because everything that comes out of that, every head of lettuce, I think it's documented out now, we're close to 700,000 heads of lettuce that we have donated since the inception of the greenhouse up there back to the community.
So
we keep about 250 heads a week, and we can grow 2,700 heads at a time. So every week, based on the progression or the growing process, we're able to harvest some donate to other organizations, like six or seven other organizations throughout Berkshire County. I do know at one point there are 30 towns and two cities in Berkshire County, and every town and every city has been a recipient of our produce or our harvest from the aquaponics. Yeah. So, That's going good. We have a virtual welding and an actual welding program. That might take a hit this year because the grant money that was afforded to us in the past is not as viable or doesn't have as much money in it as it did in the past. So we might have to, we're trying to work things out to see where we can still get that program up and running.
Sure.
Because we have all the equipment for it. And we have to, you know, we pay a couple guys from BCC and Taconic High School that come out and teach the program. So, but the cost, the grant money we used to get has decreased quite a bit. So, and those are, you know, the challenges that we deal with. Our educational grants have decreased.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, like one could say that there's apparently other priorities going on in this blue state that take that money away from us. So we have to see what the future is going to hold.
And this is just me, because, as I said, the views, this is my view.
Yeah.
It's because they talk, some talk a great game about caring for. Well, this is a group that needs to be cared for. Nobody was born a criminal.
No.
And nobody was born a gangster. So, I mean, I've written 3-4 books now about some about dealing with the managing the violent youthful and listening to them. And that's another thing that I want to compliment this particular sheriff in this particular correctional facility. They listen. They actually get to know the inmate. And I know some people won't like the word inmate, but that's what they are.
But here's the other thing, Bill. We know them because they're members of our community.
Exactly.
So the relationship, this is what differentiates us from a prison, so to speak.
Right.
We are a jail. We house a certain number of people right now that are waiting to go to court. Those who have been arrested, charged with a crime, and they're waiting trial. And they're here on bail or no bail. Then we have, that's our jail population.
Yeah.
Then we have our house of correction population, which are those that have already gone to court, have either pled out or have been found guilty and have been sentenced to us. And they've been sentenced to us because their particular charge warrants them to be with us because their sentence is 2.5 years or less.
Right.
It's a state prison sentence. A state prison sentence is more, up to five years or greater. So we have a different relationship. The staff, employees, the correctional officers have a different relationship with our inmate population here than they would in the state prison population.
Right.
The
right.
state prison population, you're sent to a place outside of this community, and you're there for 5 years to life.
Right. Right.
And here, we know you're you're going to get out.
Going to get out, yeah.
Within the 2.5 year time limit. So if our goal, one of our missions or our goals and responsibility as an elected official in this office is to create a stronger, healthier, and safer community. Well, we want these individuals who are getting out to be successful so they contribute and do their part to be stronger, healthier, and a safer community. We're going to run into these individuals at community events, school events, church events, the grocery store, the gas stations. So our relationship is completely different, and our rapport with these individuals is completely different than it would be if they were in state prison.
Yeah, and that's the culture of that particular place.
Yeah.
The culture, I mean, I'm thinking in my head, I'm going back, guys, Henry Como, but their hearts, I got to be careful here. It wasn't soft.
Right.
But it was understanding and helpful.
Yes.
And if you're going to just be a hard nose all the time, this person's not going to get better.
No.
I mean, I can tell you, this guy walks around in that place. He doesn't have bodyguards. He doesn't have, you know, I can remember in one of the joints that I was at, the warden would come out, but he'd have two guys the size of gorillas as he walked through. And they would, if an inmate started to approach him, it'd be stat. But, and thank you for making that cultural difference. When you go to prison, a penitentiary, it's got a life and culture of its own. And
completely
here, different. Here you could be sitting in one of our local restaurants and look up, and one of the former offenders will come in with his family.
Correct.
And introduce you, because I've had that happen.
Yes. Yes.
And you, I'm sure you have had.
All the time.
Yep.
All the time. So, it's a different environment. You know, when you go back to the old Second Street, when we were trying to find a place to conduct our aftercare programming.
Yeah.
Second Street was a no-brainer. Second Street has been ingrained in those who have dealt with challenges their entire life,
yeah,
who have been behind bars or have had the criminal activity or behavior behind them. They know, even though they've been there, the one place they could get help
was there,
was the Second Street Jail.
That's right.
And that was because of the attitude and the rapport that the staff had built with these individuals. Not all was good. I can tell you, there were the guys, and still to this day, there are the guys who are your headaches and your problem childs, or so if you will, if you so to speak. But they're also the individuals who know that the people affiliated with the Berkshire County Sheriff's Office care about you as a person and care about your family and want you to succeed for the better of this community and for you.
That's exactly right. And again, it goes back to a culture that has been created and fostered. The sheriff, tell him about the tilapia before I forget.
The fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with us growing lettuce, and the lettuce is grown in water. It's not grown in soil. We do have outside grow beds outside the greenhouse. God, we got about 30 or 40 of them.
Wow.
That we grow other vegetables, tomatoes, radishes, onions, peppers, cucumbers, flowers. We have fruit trees, beans, peas, all these things. I think even this year we're doing a potato field.
Wow.
But inside the facility, we grow lettuce. And there's about 4 to 5 different types of lettuce that we grow. But when you have something in a soil, when you have a produce or a crop in a soil, it has to be fertilized through the soil with fertilizer, whether it's manure or other types of fertilizer. Well, when you grow things in water, the fertilization comes from fish. It's the fish waste, to be very blunt, the fish poop. Is the fertilization process for the lettuce. And that has a whole system, filtration system that goes along with it. So we have, we're like over 1,000 fish that we start out very, very tiny little fries, little minnows or fries that grow into become fingerlings. And each time their stages they go through, we have 3 grow tank or 3 grow tanks where the fish are growing and maturing.
Yeah.
And then there's 4 fertilization tanks. Wow. So when they have retained a maturity level, they go into these fertilization tanks. There'll be about 300 fish in these 1,000-gallon tanks. And when we feed them, obviously their waste is then sent through a filtration system, which extracts all the positive and good nutrients and nitrates from that waste and dispenses it or disperses it out through the grow beds, which are about 18 inches high. And the plant itself sits in a little two foot by four foot styrofoam platform with these little squares in them. And the roots grow down into the water based on the amount of fertilization. And the leaf grows above the water. And in less than 45 days, we can get a full head of lettuce. Organic.
There you go. I mean, you can't. I've been through that. It is an amazing, in the end, and I will tell you this. When I was going through it, they had an instructor, but when I was going, the inmates, you could see and sense their pride in doing this, and it was part, they were part of the operations, and they were proud to be that. And, you know, you can see that. I'm sorry, Tom. Yeah. When you can see that in somebody, then you know if you keep encouraging that, which they do, then that person stands a good chance of never coming back.
And it's not like, there's a whole educational component to this growing. It's computer-based. They're learning about pH levels. They're learning about how much fish food or feed to give. There's scales on that. They're learning about the importance of self-sustainability in growing food and how it benefits a community, even the small community up here, our own community, the sheriff's office. So to take something, when they take a little seed and they put it in a little burlap square of these styrofoam platforms, and in 35 to 40 days, they have a full head of lettuce, and they have 2,700 of them. They can see the difference, and it gives them a sense of pride and accomplishment. Yeah. Knowing that they're taking care of those out in the community that are vulnerable to the food sustainability, and it gives them a good feeling. So they're building their self-confidence. It gets them out of the everyday chaos that goes on inside the housing units, and it breaks up the cycle. It's just like someone is, you know, when we talk about the addictions, at some point in time, you have to break that cycle, that dependent cycle that individual has been on, and with their substance use disorder, and without breaking it up, it's going to be sheer disaster. So you try to break that cycle up, educate them, and promote their self-esteem to get them to feel good about themselves, and so that they can move forward on their own at some point in time.
But the sheriff also said back, for people just tuning in, don't be surprised if they slip.
Yeah.
You've been doing something for 10 years, and now you've come to jail for 2 years or under 2 years, and you got to start, and you get back out. I can remember when I was in school, college, they had it back then. Yeah. It was BC on the Common, but for those people that don't know, they had a study. Dick Smith from the jail was teaching.
Yeah.
And he said there was a study that if you moved 50 miles from the address you were arrested on, there was a high percentage you'd never offend again.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. You know, if you grow up in X place and you're doing all the shenanigans there, you go to jail, you come back, you go back to X place, there's all your buddies.
I stopped at a convenience store yesterday, and clerk behind the counter recognized me, and I recognized him, former inmate here at the jail. Hasn't been here in 5 years. Said he moved out of town still stayed within the community or the county.
Right.
But he moved out of town, and he now has a job, and he's providing for himself and his family.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So those are the success stories. And listen, people may ask at some point when we grow the lettuce, what happens to the fish? The fish we sell.
Right.
When they get to a certain size or maturity level, and we then sell them, and we sell them to a wholesaler, guy who comes from New York.
Cool.
And he takes them and sells the tilapia. It's just a white fish.
Yeah.
And sells them, and he buys them from us, and then he turns around and sells them to whether it's restaurants or whomever.
But again, the whole chain there.
Yeah.
The whole chain. They're learning, they're raising, it's profitable.
Yeah.
They're doing things. We have to change in our way of addressing and look at the whole person. I guess that's my next venture, is to say that that was one of the things that I prided the youthful. When they came in, they went head to toe with the physical. It just wasn't your heart's beating, you look okay.
Yeah.
They did CAT scans. That we found inmates with broken bones that had healed on their own. So I'm disheartened, I'll be honest with you. And if I can help you in any way, please let me know. These grants that you use so effectively and properly,
yep,
are being cut back. Yeah. I guess my question is, for what?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, it's we hear so, but it's conversations we have with our legislators, and we try to get these things back. So,
well, we got a good group. You know, lost a great guy, but I think his replacement is going to be just as good. You know, Mitty was always swinging the bat for Berkshire County.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So listen, I want to let you go because Diane said if I don't get you out in a half an hour or an hour for 55 minutes, then she's going to come after me, and I'd rather have you come after me. She's a wonderful person. You got a wonderful crew there.
Sheriff. Yep, we do.
And thank you for your time. Thank you as a citizen, as a taxpayer. Thank you for all that your agency does for this community. I appreciate you.
Well, you're welcome. But it all comes back. I mean, the community is good to us. So, you know, I thank my staff every day. They do a great job. And listen, I've been different parts of this country. Home's always going to be Berkshire County. I mean, when you're here, there's some beautiful places here in Berkshire County, and it's filled with beautiful people. So it's a nice place to live.
I agree with you, and I've been all over the world, and it's always great to come back home.
Yeah.
This is home.
That's right.
Sheriff Thomas Bowler.
Thank you, Bill.
Once again, don't forget to vote for him. And then, but before you make that decision, call me. God bless, Tom.
All right, you. Be safe.
Be well. Thank Diane, too. She's been an angel.
I will. Bye-bye.
Folks, God bless. And remember, we're all in this together. Let's take care of each other. Is there somebody that you can lift their burden today? And I mean that. Or make them smile. There's a lot of people who are going through an awful lot now. Maybe we can help them instead of being the pain. God bless. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Sheriff. Be well.
See you, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.